Before we get started, I want to thank everyone for listening, not to just last week's big 100th episode, but all the time, every week. Since I mentioned the 100th, let me quickly explain the weirdness that went on with it. Now, this is only a YouTube issue. Though it displayed the full length, time-wise, of the video, it would only play for 2 seconds, and only on your computer. Mobile phones worked, as well as all the other streaming services. We just may end up with a whole row of that broadcast until the issue is resolved. It's silly, but we wouldn't have it any other way. I also want to thank Jack Hart again for stopping by. He brought a bin full of cassettes to add to the one I've been using, so golly jeekers, we've got shows aplenty to make our days brighter in this crazy world. And another enormous thank you to Joan McCool. Her dedication and time she lovingly put into recording these Norm shows is really unsurpassed. I think she may have single-handedly kept Maxell and TDK in business. Love you, Joan, and I know she'll be pleased with what I have to say next. Gia Hoich, to our new listeners in Ireland, we're lucky to have you. I just can't help myself. I hope I pronounced that correctly. If you recall, last month we had a swell music quiz, and it was mentioned that we were going to be back in August with another. Guess what? It's August, and as promised, we are back. This is from August 17th, 1995, and this one is direct from the Ed Mullen Collection. After approximately 26 years, Ed and I met for lunch, and he arrived bearing gifts. A lovely box full of swell music quizzes and other treasures. We spent 2 hours trying to encapsulate 26 years. Needless to say, we will meet again, and I plan on having Mr. Ed on the show, live and in person, in the future. These swell music quizzes will be titled The Ed Mullen Collection. This being Volume 1, All Star Callers. Not only because of the excellent questions from them, but there were a couple who were of some notoriety. Here we find Uncle Norm filling in for Bob Rawley. Mike Epstein is producing. Oh, that reminds me. And Mike Epstein is on that future guest hit list, too. The esteemed panel, Norm, Ed Mullen, Jack Hart, and... Oh, wait a minute. Where's Tony? Fear not, as I do appear after receiving treatment in the trainer's room for a pulled music muscle. You know all the categories. As always, before we begin, Ed reads the rules and makes them as clear as ever.
Not.
Norm reiterates the rules with even more clarity.
Not.
And those rules plague us, well, plague Norm, really, throughout. Let me note here that, for some reason, we were accepting requests for particular decades and taking questions for fun. Total chaos. The callers were as follows. Kevin in Rhode Island, Barbara from Brookline, Virginia in Roslindale, Ben from Hudson, Dee Dee in West Virginia, Deborah from Malden, Bill in Jamaica Plain, Ed from Cambridge, Dana in Salem, Jay from Bridgewater, Sal in New Hampshire, Chris from Roslindale, Ginny from East Bridgewater, David in Quincy, Jim from Boston, Bruce in New Jersey, Enos from Pennsylvania, Bill in New Hampshire, Charles in Plymouth, Jerry from Natick, who, at the end of his call, says something we completely missed. Now listen closely, as it would have generated a bunch of questions from us if we were paying attention. Phil in Johnstown. Tony from Braintree. Steve in Virginia. Colonial Beach, Virginia, is Norm Nathan Country. It's on the sign when you enter the town. Fred from Maine. He needs another certificate to finish wallpapering his bathroom. Linda from Quincy. Joe in Providence, Rhode Island. Joe from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Hazleton, Pennsylvania is also Norm Nathan Country. And Joe mentions that it's a great week when Norm is filling in, because every night is like the weekend. Then we hear from Jay in Arlington, who sang on the Gleason Show and has a great story. Jack from Springfield, just calling with some information. And we close with Mike in Springfield. Other fun we had on the show, Ed makes reference to a since-long-closed store. Certificates have many uses, if you ever receive them. I contribute a little-known fact about Neil Diamond. Norm does impressions of Robert Goulet, Zero Mostel, and Arthur Godfrey. There's mic trouble, audio trouble, and operator error. and we get commercials for Regina Gifts and two live reads from Norm. Episode 101, The Swell Music Quiz, Ed Mullen Collection, Volume 1, All-Star Callers. God, that was a mouthful. Begins in 3, 2, and 1.
Okay, this actually, as you know, is the Bob Rawley Show. Bob is on vacation this week, and my name is Norm Nathan. I think I just said that, didn't I? I don't know. I'm just insecure, and I like name recognition. It's the only thing that helps me in my emotional distress. Anyway, we'll be sitting in for him tonight. And tonight, of course, is the music quiz, known as the Swell Music Quiz. And I'm so glad you joined us on this night, because this is the night we have a whole lot of fun, in which you have a chance of winning a sort of a certificate of award. Not sort of. That's actually what it is.
It is.
I say sort of because it's sort of reprinted on cheap paper. So I it's hard to think of it as a real certificate. Yeah, it's something that you'd want to frame.
It's a copy from a copy.
A copy from a copy. Anyway, that's Ed Mullen, and Ed will give you the rules on all of this in just a minute. And also playing the game with us will be Jack Hart, who's the WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network reporter who's out there at the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
headquarters, a traffic headquarters, not just any kind of headquarters.
Well, we actually do serve as generic headquarters for any organization that needs a headquarters.
And you report traffic. Do you lease yourself out for private traffic reports stuff?
Private traffic reports will handle, like, you know, the groups who sell corn will be their headquarters. Will be the headquarters for people who do anything. If they have a parade, we'll be the headquarters. If they have a band, we'll be the headquarters.
Okay, I think we've had quite enough of that, Jack.
That sounds like HQ to the rescue.
You betcha.
That's really wonderful. I tell you what, we'll go through the rules of all this. Those of you who'd like to play the Swell Music Quiz with us, the categories are almost any category you'd like. We have rock and roll. We have a category of Broadway musicals, jazz, big bands. Whatever you like. The only thing is, when you begin, you have to stick with that category. Now, Ed Mullen will be along in just 1 minute and outline some of the rules. Meantime, if you'd like to call and be in line to play the game with us, the phone number is 254-1030. 254-1030. And, of course, the area code to Boston is 617.
Summer is prime wedding season, so those shower and wedding invitations will be arriving in the mail. Regina Gifts of Andover, Arlington, Norwood, and Melrose can help you celebrate these happy occasions with the least amount of stress. Your gift giving can be a pleasure instead of a problem. At Regina Gifts, there are no 5-day, 3-day, or 1-day sales. Every day, all year through, the discounts and savings are there, waiting for your occasions of celebration. How many times have you purchased something and returned several days later to find it marked down? Not at Regina Gifts. Discounts on name brand china, crystal, and gifts are off the published retail prices, so you can compare. The savings are substantial. Shop in an atmosphere you deserve. Stores that always deliver service, savings, and satisfaction. For a treasure chest of tasteful merchandise, make Regina Gifts your gift-giving headquarters. Gift wrap is complimentary, layaways are invited, and shipping is available. Regina Gifts of Andover, Arlington, Norwood, and Melrose. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. Call toll-free 1-800-310-9933. That's 1-800-310-9933.
Okay, well, let's go through the rules, and here's how we'll play the game. And again, the phone number is 254-1030, area code 617. I would suggest you call, even though you may not know the rules yet, since we haven't outlined them, unless you remember them from the last time, because the lines fill up very quickly. In fact, they already have. Okay, how do we play the Swell Music Quiz, Ed?
It's very easy, Norm. Very easy. All you have to do, Jackie, with me.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, very easy. Now, help me out. Three rounds of questions. Now, when you call up, the first thing you got to do is have a music trivia question. Make sure it's music trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's how it goes. We'll throw a question out on the table. Hopefully, the caller will get that answer correct. And if they get it correct, they move on to the second round. In the second round, they get to ask us their question. If we get it right, they hang up. Goodbye. They're done. And if we get it wrong, they've stumped us, and they move on to the final round where we throw out our final question.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get it right, they win the big certificate of award that has been printed. It's a copy of a copy. It might be...
of a copy of a copy of
a copy. It is a copy of a copy. At this point, no words are legible at this point except certificate.
Yeah, I'm not. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, the words are legible, and the words are... It's very often misspelled or bad humor.
And if you're lucky, you get some coffee rings on there and such.
That's right. You could use them as placemats. A lot of people have won several times.
A little bit of jelly.
And little bits of jelly. That's correct. Okay, so we ask you the question first. You just tell us the categories, Ed pointed out. But be sure you have a question now, because if you answer the first question we ask you, you got to then ask us a question, so have one in mind. Okay, let's go to...
Actually, Norm, just last thing to start off. Why don't we put one on the table right now?
Okay. Do a rock and roll question, then, if you would.
Have one right here. And the question is this. Name the 1956 Harry Belafonte album that created a musical trend. And the hint is the two singles from that album were The Banana Boat Song and... Jamaica Farewell.
Hmm. Okay, now you don't need to take that question, but that's kind of sort of put out for you. If you want to begin with that, and if you don't know the answer to that and you think you'd do better with some other question, we'll hit you with some other ones. And if you get that, don't forget, you come back and ask us a question, and if we miss, then we ask you. Here's a Broadway musical show question. The musical involving... two characters named Nathan Detroit and Sky Masterson. What was that musical? Okay, well, that's the Broadway musical one. A jazz one would be For Whom Was Birdland, a famous jazz spot in New York, named Birdland. Not too tough if you're a jazz fan. And, of course, in the big band area, a number of questions there. You can give us the name of a man who wrote and arranged The Dipsy Doodle. The Dipsy Doodle will get in your... You know that one? He arranged it for Tommy Dorsey. And A Study in Brown for Glenn Gray. Did a lot of arrangements and then organized his own band. Who was that band leader? Well-known. Well, moderately well-known, but always had a good band. Okay, any of those things. But whatever category you pick, whether it's rock and roll, jazz, big band, or Broadway show tunes, we have to stick with it for the entire three questions. Assuming you get through that. Okay. Kevin in Rhode Island. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Norm, you old bebop, are you?
Oh, yeah, man. You know what I'm saying, man? Okay.
Talk and drive.
Okay, what category would you like, Kevin?
Well, I was going to go with rock and roll, but that jazz... question is too irresistible.
Okay, because you're going to have to get another question too along the jazz.
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay, and then and we'll okay. In other words, we'll ask you another one also. Okay, you want to answer that? For whom Birdland was named?
Birdland was named for Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker is exactly right. Now, what's your question for us? And it has to be a jazz question now.
Okay, Sonny Rollins. As long as we're talking about names and nicknames, Sonny Rollins' nickname before he became known as Sonny, and whom was he nicknamed for? What was the nickname? Why was the nickname coined? Whom did it derive from?
Your grammar is perfect. Whom was it derived from? Everything. It's really smooth. I have no idea. I don't know. What is the answer to that?
Nuke. In fact, one of his early albums was called Nuke's Time, N-E-W-K, and it was derived from the Brooklyn Dodgers pitcher Don Newcomb, because they thought that it was said that he resembled Don Newcomb.
Is that right? I never heard that one.
That's a new one.
I got
the liner notes of a Sonny Rollins album.
Okay, so you win that round, we lose, and we ask one more question of you, and if you get this one, then you win the cheap certificate of award.
My pulse is racing.
I would think so. This is really an exciting kind of thing. Let's see. I was going to give you a tough one. I won't give you a tough one, though, because you're much...
I'll give him a tough one. He got that easy.
I'm only 36.
Oh, that's got nothing to do with anything. Do you know Louis Armstrong's theme song?
You said you're 36, and that goes back beyond. But he used this, that theme song right up to the time of his death.
His theme song.
Louis Armstrong's theme song. Yeah.
Would it be when it's sleepy time down south?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly correctly. That's correct. So there you go. We'll turn you over to Mike Epstein, who's our producer, and your name and address. Give him that, and you'll get a chief certificate of award within 8 to 10 months.
Norm, my life is complete.
Well, it will be when you get the certificate of award. I know you want to show it off to all your friends.
I will.
Anyway, thanks a lot, Kevin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Barbara in Brookline. Hi, Barbara. You're on WBZ.
Hi.
Hi. What category would you like?
I'd like show tunes.
Show tunes or showbiz. We threw out a question before, the musical that featured a couple of characters named Nathan, Detroit, and Sky Masterton. You want to take a shot at that, or do you want another question?
Nathan, Detroit, Guys and Dolls.
That is correct. Okay, now do you have a question for us alone?
I certainly do. Who was the person in My Fair Lady who sang the song Get Me to the Church on Time?
Oh, yeah. The big, big, chunky British guy.
Right, what was his name?
I'm getting married in the morning.
Exactly.
What was his name? Isn't that awful? I mean, that's kind of a, should be a household name.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're in the wrong households.
Yeah. Jeez, that's awful. I cannot think of his name. I give up. Who?
Stanley Holloway.
Shame on me. Incidentally, Tony Nesbitt has just joined the panel.
Yes.
And so that kind of firms up the defense. Okay, I'll give you one. If you get the answer to this... Then you win.
Okay.
You win a cheap certificate. Okay. Name the musical by Neil Simon and Burt Bacharach that was based on the movie The Apartment. Remember The Apartment, James, with the Lemon?
Right.
And a whole bunch of others, Fred McMurray, and so on. Anyway, they wrote the music, and it came out as a Broadway show. And what was it called as a Broadway show?
I saw the show, but I don't remember the name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
Can't even make a guess then. Okay, what we'll do is keep that hanging there in case anybody else wants to answer that.
Okay.
And thanks a lot for calling, Barbara.
Okay, thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, Virginia in Roslindale. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'd like to take a shot at the Broadway musicals,
Broadway musicals. Okay, and what show... did you want to... Oh, no, we already answered the other one, didn't we? And what shows were the songs... these songs featured? Whatever Lola Wants, You Gotta Have Heart, and Shoeless Joe from Hannibal Mo.
Damn Yankees?
Damn Yankees is correct. Okay, what question do you have for us?
Okay, and what musical did we have the song sung, We Need a Little Christmas Now?
Oh, wow. That was Auntie Mame.
Ah.
Yeah.
You got me.
I hope so. God, I hope so, Virginia. Hey, thanks a lot for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, this is kind of interesting because normally we get tons of questions on rock and roll, and that's a category. If you folks would like to get into the rock and roll area, we get lots of those questions, too.
Mm-hmm.
And our phone number is 254-1030. Area code is 617. Ben in Hudson, Massachusetts. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What's your category?
Well, I want to enter into the rock and roll category.
Oh, the rock and roll.
I'm trying to make it a little more modern for me.
Okay, a little bit more modern in rock and roll?
Hmm.
How about something from the 80s?
Sure.
Okay, are you calling from?
Hudson, Massachusetts.
Hudson, Mass? Okay.
Near Worcester, yeah.
All right, this is particularly for a Boston area caller, Massachusetts caller yourself. name 2 out of 3 and you get it correct. Name the leader of these bands. Till Tuesday.
Right.
2 out of 3, so.
Okay, keep going.
Keep going. The Cars.
Oh.
That's that tall, skinny guy.
That's right. Norm Nathan.
Yeah, that's right. A Norm Nathan lookalike. Yeah.
The leader of the Cars?
No, what's the next one?
You already lost.
I'll come back to that one.
You come back to that one? And then the last one's even tougher. The Stompers. A local Boston band. Well,
you got me.
Anyway, okay. Well, anyway, thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Ben. We'll go to,
how modern did he want it yesterday?
Yeah. D.D. in West Virginia. Hi, D.D.
Hi, Norm.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, what category would you like?
Let's rock and roll.
Okay.
Can I do the one that they just mentioned?
Oh, sure. Any question that has not been answered, you can use those, of course.
Okay, lead singer with Tell Tuesdays. I think her name's Amy Mann.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Okay, and Rick Ocasek with the Cars.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Dee Dee, that was great. How'd you do that?
I'm good.
Wow. Sal Baglio for the Stompers.
Oops. That's right. That's
okay.
right.
I have one for you.
Go right ahead.
Okay. There's two really, well, pretty well-known groups, The Crest and Brooklyn Bridge, and the guy was lead singer for both of them. Can you tell me who he was?
Johnny Maestro?
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay.
You're good, too.
Okay, Dee Dee. Thanks very much
Thank
for trying. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Deborah in Malden. Deborah, hi. What category would you like?
Can I get rock and roll from the
70s? Rock and roll from the 70s? Okay. And let's see. Here we go. Here's a question for you. I'll name the group, and you tell me who's leading the group. Name the group leader, in fact. Yes. Okay. Here they are. Here's all three. The Lost Planet Airmen. The next one is Dawn. The next one is The Heartbreakers. So name the leader of each of those groups. And if you name two out of three, you win.
Well, I know two. Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Tony Orlando and Dawn. Correct.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Great. You
and
got
then,
it.
And cross all three. I'm out. I don't know the other group at all.
Do you know Tom?
No. I know.
Hot Rod Lincoln. What is it, Jack?
Commander Cody.
Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, do you have a question for us, please?
Okay. I'm going to go a little further back in rock and roll for you.
Go ahead.
There was a song put out, and it was called, and this is not its correct title. I'd like the correct title and who sang it, but it was a very popular song, and it was the middle to late 60s, and it was called The Flower Girl. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what the real name of that song was and who sang it? The group?
The Flower Girl, Jack?
What was the real name of that song?
It was known as The Flower Girl?
Yes, people used to request it as and call it The Flower Girl.
Okay.
But that was not the real name of the song.
Let me see. I'm a little annoyed with The Ring Bearer.
Pretty close, but no.
Okay, I guess we don't know the answer.
Okay,
what is the answer?
The name of the song was The Ring, The Park, and Other Things, and it was sung by the Cow Sills.
Oh.
Do you remember the song now?
No.
Do any of you remember that song under that title?
I remember the song itself, but not under that title.
That was the name of the song. It was
okay,
called
here's
The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. And requested as The Flower Girl.
Okay, here's one final question for you. If you get this one, you get the certificate. Lucky you.
Okay.
Can you name two out of three artists? I'm going to name three titles and tell me the artists. They're kind of rare, so, but they were big hits. The first one is Drift Away. The next one is Precious and Few. The next one is Nice to Be With You. In a song, it goes, "Oh, it's so nice to be with you."
That's a happy hit.
Can I have that list just one more time?
Sure. I know. You want me to sing it again, don't you?
No, I don't. Trust me.
It's okay if you say yes. Drift Away, Precious and Few, Nice to Be With You.
How does that go again?
Yeah, thank you very much.
I know the name of one of them, but that would make it a little easy for another one. I don't know two of the songs at all.
Okay. All right. Well, you did a very good job, and thanks for calling.
Well, we still stumped you anyway.
Yes, you got us.
Yes, I got you.
Okay, thanks, Deborah.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Marching around the room now. I stumped the M up in Boston.
Okay, let's just take a break for a couple of commercials and stuff, and then we'll take more calls. The phone number is 254-1030. Our area code is 617.
Up with
here at WBZ News,
the station you take to work.
Traffic on the three.
The legend you lock on.
WBZ.
Congratulations, Boston.
WBZ.
Stay smart with the one legend. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Okay, we're playing the swell music quiz, and our panel is composed of Ed Mullen, Jack Hart, and Tony Nesbitt, and me, Norm Nathan, and his orchestra. And you can pick whatever category you like. Once you pick a category, though we stick with it throughout the whole thing. For example, we have rock and roll, which is one of the categories. Broadway musicals is another. Jazz and big bands are a couple of other categories. Here's the way it goes. Bill in Jamaica Plain, you're on WBZ. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning. What category would you like?
I'd like to answer the question about the leaders of 70s rock bands.
Okay, 70s rock bands.
Two out of three, did you say?
That's right. We got a... Well, we already did the one about the leaders of the rock bands, but I have the... I just put out a couple of one-hit wonders there on the table. Do you want to grab that one?
Could I pick the 60s?
All right.
British Invasion has been... Be more specific.
Something that you know, is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just look through real quick. I'll find a good 60s question and just pop one right in here. And I would say, can you tell me who is nicknamed Mr. Excitement besides Norm Nathan?
This is a band?
No, this is a singer.
All I can think of is Tom Jones.
Mr. Excitement, not Tom Jones, no.
Not even close.
Well, you wouldn't kind of consider him quite rock and roll, would you?
I was thinking of rock and roll.
Right? Oh, well. No, unfortunately, sorry about that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bill. Fred in Cambridge. Hello, Fred.
Ed in Cambridge.
Pardon me?
Ed.
Oh, Ed in Cambridge. Okay, Ed. What category?
How about rock and roll from the 1950s.
Rock and roll coming up from the 1950s. Who is Raymond Robinson better known as?
Oh, my God.
Raymond, your host.
Ray Charles.
Ray Charles is correct. Good one. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. Can you tell me, this is from the 50s, too. I mean, it has to be, right?
Yep.
Well, it doesn't have, roll. No, it's just as long as it's rock and roll.
The same area. All right. The name of the group that recorded it was a big hit. Back around, oh, I'd say 1953, and the title was G-E-E.
The Crows?
You got it.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's see, we have Dana in Salem. Hi, Dana, you're on WBZ.
Hi, Norm, how are you?
Good, thank you. What category?
Rock and roll.
Okay.
How about, like, from the 70s to current?
Okay, rock and roll from the 70s, here you go. Here's a yes or no question.
All right.
50-50. Did Barry Manilow write the song called I Write the Songs?
No, I don't think he did.
Are you going to stick with that answer?
You're trying to fake me out, aren't you?
Okay, Barry Manilow, I Write the Songs. Did he write it, yes or no?
No.
You're correct.
I knew
it. You know, it was written by Bruce Johnson of the Beach Boys, and he actually wrote it about Brian Wilson. If you listen to that song, it somehow fits. I Write the Songs.
I try to stay away from that.
He's trying to stay away from
that. It gives me nightmares, you know.
I understand that the first song, the first line was actually a little bit different. He looks like he's been alive forever. Brian Wilson. a ragtaggy little.
Yeah, very good. Very good, Jack.
Thank you.
Dan, ask us something.
I read this on a card, I don't know if it's true, but this is something I read. In his first 6 years, I don't know if it was 69 through 75 or 70 through 76, Elton John, how many albums did he put out within his first 6 years?
And that's no kind of a trivia question.
It isn't?
No.
I read it on a, I think, Trivia Pursuit.
No, but you're even saying you're not even sure if it's true or not. No,
okay.
Is this a real trivia question, okay?
Yes. Okay, what's Elton John's real name?
Reg Dwight.
Ah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you short, Dana. Anyway, let's go to... I'm really not sorry. Jay in Bridgewater, you're on WBZ. Hi, Jay. What category?
Rock in the 90s.
Rock in the 90s? Is it the 90s already?
Is it the 90s already? Who is Kenneth Edmonds better known as, and here's the hint, usually works with L.A. Reid?
Rod Stewart?
No, it's not. Not Rod Stewart.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jay.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Yeah, thanks for trying, Jay. Sal in New Hampshire. Hi, Sal. You're on WBZ.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Mr. Excitement was Jackie Wilson.
Mr. Excitement was Jackie Wilson. He collapsed on stage, later died. Isn't that, that's how to go, right?
Yeah, he died a number of years. Actually, he lingered for a good few years in a nursing home.
Really?
He had brain damage as a result. He had a heart attack. And his brain was oxygen starved. And he lingered for it's only like last 6-7 years that he died.
Mm. Excellent.
You guys get the My Fair Lady one?
Oh, you're kind of in the rock and roll category.
You'd have to stick with the same category.
Yeah, you have to give us a question.
Yeah, what question do you have along the rock lines?
I don't have that. I just wanted to answer the Jackie Wilson one.
That's nice.
No, you have to have a question, too, if you
get
by the
first. You
mean I broke
Google? Could I try for three?
We won't get that severe on you, but when you do call everybody, by all means, have a question, because if you answer our question, then you've got to ask us one, so do have one ready. Chris in Roslindale. Hi, you're on WBZ. Chris?
Hello. I know the Broadway answer.
Okay, you want to stick with the Broadway thing.
The
okay.
Apartment.
Yes.
The musical was Promises, Promises.
Promises, that's right. The musical by Neil Simon and Burt Bacharach based on the movie The Apartment was Promises, Promises.
Right.
Okay, and what's your question for us?
What superstar starred in The Boyfriend in 1955?
Julie Andrews.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling. In fact, that was her first... American, her debut in America was The Boyfriend. It was a great score, kind of a 20s kind of sound to it. Anyway, Ginny in East Bridgewater, you're on WBZ. Hi, Ginny.
Hi. I know so little about every category. I'm sorry, I'm just terrible.
Pick one you think you know, maybe a little bit about.
Well, this is something that you had before, but I hope to heck that I'll get these two because I want to ask you people one question. You had something, Precious Are Those? I think that's David Cassidy.
No, the name of the song was Precious and Few.
Precious and Few. Isn't it the Partridge Family?
No. No.
Oh, it's not. Oh, my God, and I'll never get to the other one.
Well, you can ask.
All right, could I do it for fun?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, when Neil Diamond was 17 years old, he recorded a song, and it's on four. I'm a Neil Diamond fan. It's on four of the tapes, different types of, taping. Do you know what it is? And
do
he
you
makes
know
mention of it on all of these four different versions that I have, that when he was 17 years old, he recorded this.
And what does this song show up in different recordings
of
his?
Yeah, four of them, four different versions I have.
But he does the four different versions,
yes,
right?
He does.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
Hmm.
What do you think, Jack?
I was thinking the Battle Hymn of the Republic, but...
you definitely know.
I don't know.
Early Neil Diamond is like...
Early Neil Diamond.
Yeah. That was Neil Cole.
Oh, you.
Neil Cole.
Oh, early Diamond, yeah.
it's on later tapes.
Okay, I guess we give up.
All right, it's a singer sings his song, and it's a nice little tune, too. Singer sings his song.
Yeah. Do you guys know that?
I recognize the title.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't
hum
the song.
Okay. Hey, nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you, Jenny. Thanks for calling. 254-1030, area code 617. David in Quincy. Hi, David.
Hello there.
Hello. What category?
Musicals.
Pardon me?
Broadway musicals.
Broadway musicals. Okay. Cole Porter wrote a song for his show Paris. Paris is one of his shows, in which he declared that birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Do what?
Just fall in love.
Just fall in love. That's right. The name of the song, of course, is Let's Fall in Love.
Oh, Let's Fall.
No, that's okay. You scored on that one. One of the lines in that song is Cape Cod clams against their will do it, even lazy jellyfish do it. So let's do it. Let's fall in love. Now, what category do you have for us?
Well, same category.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I didn't mean category. I meant question.
Okay,
what question? Yeah.
Okay. I'm Welsh. I starred in a 1960 musical with Julie Andrews. Who am I?
Is that the same? Is that the Stuart?
You're thinking of Tom Jones?
No. Well, I started in a musical with Julie Andrews in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Welsh. Well, that could be.
Are we talking My Fair Lady and the guy doing Take Me to the Church on Time?
That's Stanley Holloway, but that's not.
That's not the guy you're thinking of. But it's somebody from that show.
Mm-hmm. Started it.
You're talking about Rex Harrison?
Nope. You know the clue?
No, I've made guesses and I've been wrong, so we lose. Who are you thinking of?
Richard Burton.
Oh, Richard Burton. You're talking Camelot.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. And Robert Goulet, I never even thought of that.
Good question.
Robert Goulet was also on that, too.
Yeah,
and If Ever I Would Leave You, he played the knight. You know what I mean.
Lancelot.
Okay. Who originally played the male lead? Now, this is for the certificate.
Okay.
Who originally played the male lead on stage in Fiddler on the Roof? The original actor in Fiddler on the Roof. I were a rich man. You know that one. who was the first guy to sing that on Broadway? The
Zero Mostel.
Zero Mostel is absolutely right. You have won yourself a certificate. Very good. And you'll be just so darn pleased with it. You probably won't show it to anybody. You'll be too ashamed. Okay. Jim in Boston, you're on WBZ. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. What's your category?
I'd like rock and roll in the 90s.
Rock and roll in the 90s.
Yes.
Okay, rock and roll in the 90s.
Rock and roll in the 90s.
Here's one for you. Okay, here we go. The Rembrandts have a top single now. It's the title song from Friends. It's the theme song from Friends.
Right.
What was their biggest single before this?
Ooh.
That'd be a good title for an album.
Well, I know
that
song.
What's that?
I know the first song.
Yes, you do.
They
really only had one song that really...
And now they have two.
Now they have two. Two in a row. They're on a roll.
Would it be a title song?
I'm awfully sorry, but thank you very much. Well, you can, just for fun.
Sure. Okay, what was the original name of the Beatles?
There's a lot of names for the Beatles.
It was what they called themselves when they went off to Hamburg, Germany.
No, there's a lot of names for the Beatles before they started calling themselves the Beatles.
The Quarrymen?
The Quarrymen. Oh, the Silver Beatles.
The Silverman.
Right.
The Johnny and the Moondogs.
You know what? One of the names they gave themselves, which a lot of people are not aware of, they called themselves for a while the Andrew Sisters. And somehow that didn't seem to make too much sense to the English up around Liverpool. Hey, thank you, Jim, for calling. Bruce in New Jersey. Hello, Bruce.
Yeah, hi, Norm. How are you?
I'm just fine. Hope you're okay.
I'd like to take jazz.
Jazz. Oh, my God. Like jazz.
I'm sure you got.
I'm so excited. Okay. I'll give you nicknames of three jazz people. Tell me who we're talking about.
Okay.
Train, Satchmo, formerly Satchel Mouth, I guess it's short for Satchel Mouth, and Fatha, F-A-T-H-A.
Okay, the first one, John Coltrane.
Yep.
Louis Armstrong.
Is
Satchmo. And Earl Fatha Hines.
Exactly right, yes. Very good. Now fire one at us, if you would, please.
All right, I got one for you. Miles Davis's first quintet had a piano player who later went on his own. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I should know that. I should brush up on this category. I'm supposed to know this one. The piano player who went out on his own, who played in the original Miles Davis group.
Right.
How old is... this is a discussion. This is not a rant. How old is Herbie Hancock? Is that way... Am I way off?
Well, let's throw that out and say Herbie Hancock. Is that who you're thinking of?
No. Yeah. Red Garland in the original Miles Davis.
Oh, Red Garland. Yeah, mm-hmm. Red Garland. Yeah. I
used to have that on my Christmas tree.
Red Garland.
Yeah, no, we get it, Jack.
Get it. Please don't explain it. Okay. That's excellent. You stopped us, and therefore you have won. And I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Bruce.
Wait a second. Did you ask him his second question?
Well, no, but we already stopped us, so we don't have to go that far, do
yes,
we?
Yes, we do.
We do?
Yeah.
We
do I get that? Another one?
Oh, okay. I guess that we ask you another one, and this is for the...
this is for the certificate.
This is for the big certificate.
All right.
Okay, the big certificate.
Fire away.
Okay. This is for the big certificate. Yeah. This is the one that we're talking about.
This
for that.
Is called stalling.
This is, well, that's exactly what this is called. It's called.
Remember when you went to the library and this is gigantic book, dusty encyclopedia sized dictionary? Norm is now dusting it off at this point, flipping through
translating
the Latin.
I spent more time trying to dig up questions on Broadway musicals than I did. In this particular category, however, you can bet you will come up with a swell category and a question. Okay, the featured instruments of these band leaders, Ray McKinley, Louis Belson, and Chick Webb. Now, there's a pretty easy one for you.
Oh, you kind of stumped me there. Chick Webb, I know, is a drummer.
Yeah, all three of them played the same instrument, so they all were drummers. Ray McKinley and Louis Belson, who incidentally is coming to Scholars, I think, in another... Few days, and maybe this weekend or next weekend. I forget the dates. So he's still very active. Okay, you win, and we'll turn you over to Mike Epstein.
All right, terrific.
Thanks a lot for calling. Okay, let's go to Enos. Is that your name, Enos?
Yes.
In Pennsylvania. What's your category?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
I'll try the Precious and Few, Climax.
That's right. As part of the question,
Drift Away was Dobie Gray.
Excellent. And the last one was Nice to Be With You.
I'm not sure about that one.
Okay. It was the group called Gallery. Sounded a lot like Neil Diamond.
Right.
Excellent. Now, do you have a question for us?
Paul Simon, after he went solo, what was his first number one hit?
First number one hit.
Was that
Me and Julio, do you think?
Either that or
50 Ways.
50 Ways to Leave.
Oh, no, that's later, because that's later. Still crazy.
I'm about to say Julio. Me and Julio down by the Schoolio yard.
Okay.
what is the answer?
Me and Julio.
You 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Oh, you guys said that, did you not? Yeah.
I threw that out. I'll take the blame.
Okay,
Number one solo before that? Is that what you're telling me?
Excuse me?
He didn't have a number one solo hit
not
before
a
that?
No, Kodachrome and Loves Me Like a Rock both went to number two. But, 50 Ways was his first number one.
Well, I had it right. I want that noted in the records.
Okay. Well, that name was mentioned, but not as an official answer.
No.
Okay. So we got a question for you now.
Right. Here we go. Rice.
Name all 50 ways.
50 ways.
Name them.
Let's see. Okay. I'm going to name three songs and tell me the artist on each one. First one is Ghetto Child.
Ghetto Child. No, I don't know.
All right. You still got a chance for a couple more?
Okay.
Next one, In the Ghetto.
Elvis Presley.
Correct. Next one, you got to get this one. The World is a Ghetto. This would be the ghetto question.
And if you ghetto this right, you get the...
Oh, stop it. Will you stop it, Jack?
The World is a Ghetto?
Save that for the dumb birthday game when we don't really care.
No, I don't know that one either. Sorry.
No, you only got one out of three.
All right. Thanks anyway.
Thanks for playing.
Sure.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Enos. Okay, how about the Bill in New Hampshire? Hi, Bill. You're on WBZ.
Yeah, the last caller just got the questions I was looking for.
Oh, he got in just before you, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
but anyways, we'll try rock and roll, I guess. 60s, at least 60s, possibly.
All right, the 60s. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to name the groups. Can you tell me who's the leader of the groups?
Oh, boy.
Okay, in other words, Diana Ross, the Supremes, that type of thing. Sure. Here we go. The first one is the Zodiacs.
Oh, boy.
Somebody that's the man, the name and the Zodiacs.
Yeah.
Do you want me to name all three? Or?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I'm not going to do so good at this. I can tell.
Who knows? Next one is the Starlighters. Blank, blank, and the Starlighters.
Yeah. Mm. a little bit older than that.
Next one.
I guess.
Blankety blank and the Playboys.
Oh, that's Gary Lewis and the Playboys and the Starlighters. I'm sorry, the second question was?
Starlighters, right? Go ahead, the Peppermint Twist.
Oh, yeah, that's
What? Say it again.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I'm not Jimmy D, but D something or other.
You almost said it, just...
Oh, boy. They did the Twist, the Peppermint Lounge and the Twist.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You really just missed. Mm. I suppose we should have given him maybe a little more time, but that was a lot of time anyway. Anyway, you came very, very close, Bill. I'm sorry that you didn't make that, but you can hold your head up proudly. Any place in New Hampshire, but don't cross the line into Massachusetts. You're a dead duck.
No,
obviously I'm joking, but thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll do... a few more commercials, and we'll be right back.
Silver City Ford Hyundai Coachman and Silver City Dodge Toyota, Southeastern Massachusetts' largest dealer group, Route 44, Raynham.
Okay, we're back with the Swell Music Quiz, and what a lot of fun we're having, right, kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Charles in Plymouth. Hi, Charles. You're on WBZ.
Can I pick up on the second part of that question about the two groups? The fellow missed the second one.
I'm sorry, what was that question
the
again?
The last question on the Starlighters.
Yeah, Joey D and the Starlighters and Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
That's right. And the other one, just for your information, was the Zodiacs. And do you have want to take a swipe at that?
No.
They did the song Stay in 1960.
Oh, Zodiacs. Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs.
Exactly. You got
very
it.
Good.
You got it.
Okay, so you asked a question.
All right, this is one that...
As though I could answer a question on rock and roll. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
This is an appropriate one. There was a Boston doo-wop group in which four of the five singers were brothers. What was their big hit, and what was their last name?
A Boston doo-wop group. Four of the five
Daryl
brothers.
Daryl Gould, where are you?
Daryl, where are you? Daryl, if you're listening.
And four of the five were brothers.
Can you give us a time period?
57, right around there.
Okay. I have no idea.
Well...
It has to do with music, too. You think of the musical scale, and you got the name.
The G-Clefs.
G-Clefs. Who were the four of the five? Who are the names?
You got the name of the band. What was the question? The name four out of the five?
No, there are four of the five guys who were brothers.
I have the name of the band. We just need the name, the last name.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
The Cleft Brothers.
It wasn't the Cleft Tones, was it?
It was the Cleft Tones, yeah. Not the Cleft Tones. No, the G-Clefs. He had the right answer.
Oh, G-Clefs.
Who were the guys?
Okay. Oh, who are the guys?
Four of the five had the last same name.
We missed out on that. What is their last name?
The Scott brothers. They came from Roxbury.
Did it include Jack Scott?
No, there was Teddy Scott.
Okay.
Chet Scott, Timothy Scott, Arnold Scott, and the only guy was Ray Gibson.
Wow. Okay, nice. What final question then for you for the certificate?
Here we go. Your question is this. Levi Stubbs. Was the lead singer of what?
Falcons.
let me finish the question first. Levi Stubbs was the lead singer of what 60s and 70s vocal group?
Oh, no, how about a 50s question? Come on.
Let's finish the question. It's already been said, started.
In 1957, they were known as the Four Ames
Brothers.
I didn't say that.
All right.
Okay, they were known as the Four Ames. And the hint is they're from Detroit.
So there go the Ames brothers, who are from Roxbury.
This question was all... Don't say anything. Read the whole question again, because it's all...
Levi Stubbs was the lead singer of what 60s and 70s vocal group? By the way, when they started in 1953, they were known as the Four Ames. They changed their name to a much more famous name of a singing group from Detroit. The famous singing group's name is...
No idea.
Okay, I'm sorry, Charles. But yeah, thank you very much for trying anyway. Anybody else can use that as a lead-in question. What we're going to do is take a break for the news, and then we'll be back with the second hour of the quiz, the swell music quiz, 254-1030, area code 617. Ed Mullen, Jack Hart, Tony Nesbitt, me, Norm Nathan, all this as part of the Bob Raleigh Show this Thursday night. And so stay tuned with us, and do give us a call.
You're listening to the 50,000 watts clear channel voice of news radio.
Okay, back to the swell music quiz, and what a swell music quiz it is. I like to play with words because words is my business. Anyway, we have Ed Mullen, we have Tony Nesbitt, we have the very lovely Jack Hart. Hi, Jack. Let's see, I have a feeling he's not plugged in at the moment. There you go. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, we're all set for the second hour.
Yay.
of the swell music quiz. And, we won't go through the rules again. I think people understand it pretty well, and as we go along, you'll get the idea. We'll review the questions that have not been answered then.
Okay, Levi Stubbs was lead singer of what 60s and 70s vocal group? By the way, when they started in 1953, they were known as the Four Ames, and the hint is they're from Detroit. Let's see, what else do we have here? I guess that would be the question posed to me. Who is Kenneth Edmonds? This is from the 1990s. Who is Kenneth Edmonds? Who is he better known as? He usually works with L.A. Reid. Yeah, it's a tough one. And I think we're up to date.
Okay, and we have no questions on musical comedy. Outstanding. Those are our categories: rock and roll, musical comedy, jazz, and big bands. And you have another question?
I just found one more from the 50s. Name the 1956 Harry Belafonte album that created a musical trend. The two hit singles from this album are The Banana Boat Song and Jamaica Farewell.
That was really nice, because when I was doing the online show, I did Harry Belafonte's Jamaica Farewell or The Banana Boat Song, and that was about a 6 or 7 minute cut. It was very long. I could go to the bathroom during that. That was really nice.
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
let's
now you got two people on the air.
Oh, we got two. I'm sorry. Let's see. Let's go to Jerry and Natick. And could you put the other fellow on hold just for a little bit? Okay, Jerry, you're on WBZ. Hi.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Good, thank you. What category would you like?
I'll take the rock and roll category.
Rock and roll category.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. About what decade, Jerry? Approximately.
You want somebody to answer the question about the Levi Stubbs? Is that his name?
Either that or take a new one.
I'll take the Levi Stubbs. He was the lead singer for the Four Tops.
You're definitely correct.
Okay.
It used to be the Four Ames, and later on changed the name to the Four Tops.
Right.
Now, do you have a question for us? Good work.
Yes, I do. And actually, can I make a slight correction on something you said earlier?
No.
you mentioned that Barry Manilow did not write "I Write the Song," which is true. He did not. It was written by one of the Beach Boys. It's Bruce Johnston with a T.
Complaint department is on the third floor.
Okay. Right next to men's boxer shorts.
I was correct there, because I...
Right near the trap door.
Yeah. I had worked with him a long, long time ago, and that was something he was a little bit annoyed by, is that people would leave off the T.
What kind of work did you do with him?
Just his advance work on the concert tours, working with promoters in the various cities that we go to, making sure that the concert, the contracts, rather, had been... all the contract agreements have been met, the contract writers and things like that.
That sounds fascinating. You still involved in that kind of work now?
No, I haven't been for 20 years.
Oh, okay. Okay, what question do you have for us?
I'll tell you what. I'll stay in that same genre. Speaking of Bruce Johnston, he had a top 10 hit before he joined the Beach Boys. He was part of the group. Can you name the song and the group?
Oh, boy.
Part of a group. Was it a surfing band sound, surfing sound kind of a thing?
Not.
Well, I know later on. I know later on he was. He sung with the Captain and Tennille a little bit, and Elton John also in terms of a backup singer.
I guess that indicates we don't know. It's funny because it's right at the tip of my tongue.
Okay, he sang with a group called the Ripcords, and they had a song called "Hey Little Cobra."
Oh.
That was a top 10 song back in 1966.
The Beach Boys were around before the Beach Boys themselves were around before 66.
Yes, but 66. He did not join the Beach Boys till 68.
Oh. Okay, so one final question for you. This is for the Swell Certificate of Award.
Hot dog.
Okay.
Does that have your autograph on it, Norm?
Yes, it will, actually. We'll
oh,
have...
well, then I'm excited.
I don't need sarcasm.
No, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I was listening to you on the way home from work. And I thought, I hope I can get home in time to get involved in this thing.
Okay. Well, and you did. Now, that's
there we
great.
Go. All right.
Here's your final question.
Uh-oh.
I think you can handle it because you know your stuff. In 1959.
59?
I'm gonna give you a long list of things.
Okay.
We're looking for who is this person. Just identify the person.
Okay.
In 1959, this Canadian's biggest year in his long career. He had a number one hit called Lonely Boy. He had a big comeback later on in 1974, 1975. He had a handful of top 20 hits. And now here's the hints. He also wrote Johnny Carson's theme, and he also wrote My Way.
Yeah.
And who is that?
You're talking about Paul Anka.
He got it. Ooh, excellent.
Can I just toss out another question for you just for the fun of it?
Sure.
Going back to your thing about I write the songs, do you know who was the first performers to record that song prior to Barry Manilow?
No.
It was not. I don't think it was released as a single, so I wouldn't expect you to necessarily know it. But you already answered it early. It was the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Hey, thank you.
They all played as backup musicians for the Beach Boys back when I was working with them.
Okay, our producer is Mike Epstein, so hang in there and talk with him and give your name and address. We'll get all the stuff out to you. Phil in Georgetown. Phil, you're on WBZ. Hi.
Hello, old sport.
Hey, old sport. Thank you. What category would you like, Phil?
Well, Norm, I'd like rock and roll of the 50s, 60s, or 70s, but I also thought you had one question hanging from before the news break I could take a shot at. That was The World is a Ghetto.
Oh, right. Now, I'll tell you. Here's the question. I'll repeat the whole question for you. Name two out of three. I'll name the song titles, name the groups. First one was The World is a Ghetto.
Okay, that was War.
Okay, next one was In the Ghetto.
That was Elvis.
Right, you won, but I'll tell you the other one, Ghetto Child.
I take a shot and say maybe The Temps.
No, close though. Another vocal group, soul group from the early 70s. You got a question right. The answer is The Spinners.
The Spinners.
Yeah,
okay,
great song, really.
It was.
Do you have a question for us? You're on your way.
Yeah. The question is, I'm going to want to know the name of this singer, the solo act. He was the lead singer of a band called Rock House, and he's much better known by his real name as a solo singer.
Rock House?
Right.
Could you give us a time reference?
Yeah, his biggest popularity as a solo act was probably mid-60s.
Mid-60s.
Rock House.
Jack, can you basically ask another question while we stall?
would you like more hints?
No, I think that's it. What is the answer to that?
That was where Otis Redding started.
Otis Redding was in a group called Rock House?
That's correct. His wow. first manager convinced him to go solo and use his own name.
Good one.
Okay, yeah, an excellent question. Also, here's your final question. If you get this one right, you win.
that chintzy little certificate of award.
I can't. There's electricity in the air tonight, Norm. I can't.
Oh, it is. I know. I know you must be terribly excited. I can.
That's just from a bad ground in the amplifier.
No, I'm quivering.
No, I can hear the heartbeat. I can hear it, yeah. And you have arrhythmia, and we're sending over the EMTs immediately.
Okay, here's your final question. In 1965, this singer collaborated with Steve Cropper at the Memphis Stax Studios. He also co-wrote with Steve Cropper his first hit. His first hit for Atlantic Records was called In the Midnight Hour. Who was this soul legend?
Maybe the Wicked Wilson Pickett.
That's right. Excellent. Good job.
You have won that very thing, that elusive grail, the holy grail that so many people seek but do not achieve.
Well, they won't get any more work out of me the rest of this week. I'll tell you that right now, Norm.
No, they'll probably give you a little bonus there and give you a long vacation because you've got credit to your race, to your job, and to your family.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Phil, for calling.
That elusive thing. Are we getting
that? That's right.
Bob Lynn, that elusive butterfly. No, Norm Nathan, and that elusive thing.
Tony in Braintree. Hi, Tony. You're on WBZ.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Is this... are you a young lady?
Yes.
Okay, so you're T-O-N-I, and... okay.
Yep.
Yeah, no, we can hear you fine. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Norm?
Because I was about to ask you to the prom, and if you can't hear me, there's no sense in issuing any such wild invitation. Anyway, what category would you like, Tony?
Rock and roll, 80s or 90s, and I want to answer the one about L.A. Reid.
Oh. Okay, great. Very good. The question is, who is Kenneth Edmonds better known as? He usually works with L.A. Reid.
I think it's Babyface.
Babyface is correct. One of the most famous producers now, and he works. Yeah. L.A. and Babyface work together all the time.
Hmm.
And
oh, everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that. Sorry, Jack. do you have a question for us, please?
I do, but don't laugh at me. This is a girl question. That's why I'm going to ask you.
Don't be in. There's no laughing. There's no laughing in music trivia.
Okay, here we go. Two rock singers that became popular from the soap opera General Hospital in the 80s.
Rick Springfield.
Yep.
And I know the other guy, Jack Wagner.
You got it.
Very good.
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm impressed.
Very good question.
It's an excellent question, Tony.
Thank you.
That was a very good trivia question because a lot of people call up with basically, I'm thinking of a song, but that is a very good trivia question. Excellent.
Oh, sure.
Jack, okay. I'm going to use that next time.
That's right. Next year, we'll have that one ready.
Steve, down in Virginia.
Norm.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Steve.
Norm Nathan, before I say anything more, I want you to know Colonial Beach, Virginia is Norm Nathan country.
It's on the sign when you drive into town.
You are now entering known Nathan country.
Would I be too egotistical to ask, or because I'm asking out of curiosity, why is that Norm Nathan country?
Because WBZ signal just booms in here every night.
Oh, that's really lovely. Whereabouts is that?
It's about 60 miles south of Washington, D.C.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I sure hope you will win a swell certificate of award.
I just had to say that.
Is it anywhere near the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia?
No, we're kind of like in the water plains, you know, by the Potomac River.
I see.
Sounds like pretty country. I would imagine Nathan country is probably pretty country.
I think that was Jack's.
Wherever Norm Nathan country is, it's pretty country.
Arthur Godfrey.
No, I was gonna do. You mean? No, I don't. I don't do that song anymore. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, you mean? In the trail of the lonesome pine. No, I don't do that no more. I do the more the fat song.
Yeah.
Oh, she's too fat for me. I suppose the fat lady could live in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia.
She looks like one of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
What a lovely impersonation, Norm.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, there's a fat lady is one of the mountains. That doesn't rhyme to it. Let me get back to you. Anyway,
nice to hear from you there, Arthur.
Nice to hear from you, Steve. What category would you like?
Norm, can we get something, pull something out of the hat for 60s rock and roll?
60s rock and roll, we can pull something out of the hat. Anything you say, Steve.
I'll close my eyes and pull one out.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll let you guys read it.
Watch your hands. Jeez.
Oh, sorry about that.
Right. Here's one for you from 60s rock and roll.
Okay.
I'm going to name three songs, and you tell me the three singers that done that. Singers or groups. Here we go.
Okay.
First one, When a Man Loves a Woman.
Can I answer that right now?
Yes.
Percy Sledge.
Okay. Here's the next one. Everyday People.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Excellent. You're on, you won, and I'll just ask you the last one. In the year 2525.
That can be none other than Zager and Evans.
You are correct.
Oh, that's
excellent.
Excellent.
In the year
25.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
In the year
2000. Right. I can't believe it.
Yeah, all right, now, do you have a question for us?
Yes, sir, I sure do. In the mid-60s, what female artist had the number one record for the year, followed the next year by a number two record for the following year? This feat has never been repeated by a female artist.
Hmm. What year?
I believe we're talking about 1964 and 1965.
Hmm.
Now, she had the number one record for 64, followed the next year by the number two record for 1965.
Hmm. I'm already kind of leery of this because I know that
female artist.
A female
Roberta
artist.
Flack in 1973 and 74.
No, we're not talking about the 70s. Roberta Flack's a little bit too recent.
No, I know. I'm talking about who had. I'm just referring to your claim of a solo female that had the number one song year back to back years.
Okay. Let's confine it to the 60s then.
Okay.
Okay. She had the number one record, I believe, for 64, followed in 65 by the number two record officially for that year.
Oh, the number two.
Number two.
64 and 65, if you can remember when.
Hmm. Who were girl
female
singers? I think we better if we get the answer to this. The guys apparently have no guesses on this one at all. Who are we talking about?
Norm, you don't have any idea.
No, I don't have any idea. No, I don't.
Now, let us all remember Petula Clark.
Oh,
she had Downtown, the number one record in 1964, and I Know a Place, which was the number two record for 1965.
Yeah.
Now, I read this out of a music encyclopedia.
Well, yeah, well, don't believe everything you read.
Especially in music encyclopedias.
I'm just telling you what I read.
Okay, here's a final question then for you.
Okay.
That seems to be a question among our panel about whether how the legitimacy of that, but we'll accept that. And here's one for you for the certificate.
After all, he's in Norm Nathan country.
That's right. How can we turn him down for that? I don't think we've ever had a certificate framed and hung in Norm Nathan country.
Oh, well, I hope you do this time.
Okay.
It's going to be hung proudly.
Okay.
There's at least three in the province of Norm Nathan. But
oh, that's right.
But not in the county. What TV talk show host had a hit single in 1966 with the song called The Men in My Little Girl's Life?
That has got to be none other than the father of mediocrity, Mike Douglas.
Yeah, that's right.
Mike Douglas.
Now, not the Michael Douglas, who's the actor, but Mike Douglas, who is his great-great-great-great-grandfather. No, there's no relation. I made that up.
The great talk show host.
At least once a year, he would drag that song out, and people would gather around to watch him weep.
The only other song that was as obnoxious as that, and remember, I'm a father of girls, so you would think, I mean, that song is aimed at me and my heartstrings, and I always thought it was the most stupid song.
Yeah.
There was another one. There was a guy named Richard Todd once, a singer, who did one called something about my little girl, and that had to do with kind of sort of the same sentiment about a father gushing over his daughters and stuff. Yeah, I hate songs like that. I mean, they're kind of overly sentimental. But I'm glad you brought it up anyway, Steve, and it's got you a certificate.
Thank you so much, Norman.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to Fred in Maine. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Norman.
Hey, this is going to be a big band thing, I'll bet you. Yeah, I know that. How have you been? You okay?
Well, I've had a rough time. Mike will tell you about it. Listen, I need one more certificate to paper my bathroom.
Okay, that's good.
That's a low blow. Listen, I stay up late to watch the Red Sox win one out in the West Coast, and then I try to go to bed, and I hear you on the quiz, and I've got to get up and get on the phone.
Why did the Red Sox do? Did they win?
4-3, they beat them in the...
They beat California 4-3?
Yep.
In what inning?
The end.
Oh, no, it just was a 9-inning game then. It didn't,
at the top
okay.
of the ninth.
Okay.
What? And then Belinda shut him down with 3 outs at the bottom of the ninth.
Son of a gun.
Yankees, we're going to make it this year, Norm.
No, I know we are. The only problem, as I've said a number of times, is the fact that the Red Sox are getting boring.
Oh, I heard you come say on. That.
No. I mean, I'm pleased
Listen,
they're winning.
You haven't waited since 1932 when Lefty Grove went from the Philadelphia Athletics to the Red Sox and pitched on Sunday.
Okay, now you go back a little bit before me, but I do go back to the 30s.
Okay, well.
I go back to Joe Vosmick.
All right, 32 is when I picked him up.
Okay.
I've been heartbroken for many years.
Okay, hit me about 38 or 39 for
okay.
me, so I go back to... But anyway...
I'm a grandfather of 4 daughters. You haven't got anything on me.
No, I don't have any granddaughters
and
at all.
And listen, Arthur Godfrey used to sing that song as he buzzed the tower at Leesburg in his DC-3.
You're going to do a whole historical thing for
this
us, aren't you,
Fred? Well, this is nostalgia.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, I'm going to get you now.
Okay, no, no.
You ask me the question first, and I've got
okay.
one to stump you.
Okay, you probably, I think
I want big band or jazz, either one, doesn't matter.
Okay, big band.
Welcome to the Fred Show.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll do the big band thing, okay?
Okay.
Okay. This is not maybe the kind of band that either one of us like all that well, but it's about the toughest question I can come up with, and you'll know the answer anyway. The man who conducted an orchestra and played what was called the singing guitar.
Alvino Ray?
Alvino Ray is right, and it was a terrible sound.
It was awful.
It was awful. It's worse than a Hawaiian guitar.
Than the Hawaiian band of the time.
I know it. The Hawaiian guitar.
And all that jazz.
No, the Hawaiian guitars are the worst instruments of all. I know, and he played a thing that sounded
worse
like
than
that.
The accordion, Norm?
Oh, yes. Actually, yes. Oh, yeah, because there have been some good accordion players.
Yeah.
You know, some good
Even
jazz accordion
well.
Players. Pardon me?
Even on Lawrence Welk.
Well, I don't know that I go that far. Anyway, hit us with something now, if you would.
My question to you is, then they missed it on Jeopardy the other night. Who was the man that the famous jazz pianist, yeah, Hazel Scott played and married? She used to play WNEW in the olden days.
Yeah, I remember Hazel Scott. The question is what? Who did
she marry? Famous politician.
Oh, yeah, she married the congressman from New York who was...
Give me the name.
Oh, jeez, he's... No, I know exactly who you're talking about. He was up on some charges and stuff at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't think of his name.
Adam Clayton Powell.
Adam Clayton Powell, yeah, shame on me. I should have known that.
Yeah, you should know that. I had to escort that guy when he came to Madrid once.
Yeah.
When I was in the embassy there. And that was a job, to keep him off the radio and keep him from going to Jakarta to talk to Sukarno and all
no,
that.
No, he was,
stuff.
In a way, he was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a very colorful guy. Here's your question now. I've asked this question before, but I'm trying to think of something that maybe you don't know, and I know this is hopeless, but we'll try it anyway. The Woody Herman band that recorded the Four Brothers, named after the four saxophone players who were featured on Four Brothers, the names of the four, all four of them. I'm not even going to let you off with like two out of four.
I don't know them that well. I was never a great fan of Herman's.
You don't know them?
The early Herd I liked back when
okay.
he did. No, I just don't know them.
Okay. Okay. We'll keep that. Can you name two out of four?
No, I can't. I can't name any of them.
Any of them? Okay.
I was probably overseas when they were hot. And so I wouldn't have known them.
No excuses.
Oh, yeah, because they've sort of gone down in history through the years. Hang in there, and maybe somebody else will know the answer.
Someday I'll get you. I've still got the paper that bathroom.
Okay. Hey, Fred, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for calling.
So long, man.
Bye-bye, dear. Bye-bye. And it actually is proven to be good for you, and you're wondering, what is this it that I'm talking about? Were you guys wondering that?
What is that?
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm talking about taking vitamins.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah,
give me
yeah.
a chance.
You don't think I'd look as good as I do if I didn't take vitamins? And I my whole life is dependent upon taking vitamins like Power Vites and Power Mate, made by the Green Turtle Bay Company of Summit, New Jersey. I was thinking of the company that my my ancestors were awarded when they came to this country from England. It was the Green Bay Company. But this is the Green Turtle Bay Company.
From England?
From England.
You know? What about one from Paris?
This is the one from, oh yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Oh.
But this is one is from Summit, New Jersey. Polyvites is a highly absorbable 100% all-natural multivitamin that will increase your energy. Right, we're just talking about it. My energy is increasing. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I can hardly sit still. I'm just bouncing up and down on the chair. It's the only one formulated with odorless garlic, boron, bee pollen, shark cartilage, and acidophilus, and no stomach-irritating iron. That's the same way my great-great-grandmother used to make potato latkes. included all that in the ingredients.
Extra acidophilus.
Oh, acidophilus. She said, boy, that makes them really crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. I never realized that it was such good stuff that they'd make it into a vitamin. Anyway, power mite, or sometimes called power mate.
I got bitten by one of those power mites.
I had them in my garden one year, and they ate up all the cabbage. Power mate is their antioxidant formula made from the finest herbs, like, here's the fun part, echinacea. I have a feeling I'm not even close on that one.
It sounds nice, though.
Ginkgo, which is what my father used to call me. You know, Norman, you're a ginkgo. green tea and golden sea root.
Sea root or seal root?
Seal root, actually. Oh, you're right. You caught me on that one, you devil.
Yeah.
Just do it. Look and feel better.
There's two separate things, you know, seal root and sea root.
Sea root is a whole different thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. Just do it. Look and feel better by taking Power Vites and Power Mate together every day. They're available at Health Marts, Chartwell, Bemis, Braddock, and Freedom Pharmacies and Pillbox Pharmacy.
As an intelligent.
That's a good name. Pillbox Pharmacy. That's cute.
Where are these places?
Seaport Pharmacy, MediRight. Charlton is the one place where they are, and they're in various places. Oh, they're everywhere. And also White Knight Pharmacies. So tell your favorite pharmacist or health food store manager to get them for you. Do you have a favorite pharmacist? Because almost every family should have a favorite pharmacist.
Nope.
To order by phone, call 100. In fact, you could call 100, but that won't get you anywhere. Call 1-800-518-5252. That's 1-800-518-5252.
You should call now. Well, after 2 o'clock, why don't you give them a call?
Ask them how to pronounce some of those names on there, yeah.
They might still be there.
Maybe find out where the operators who are standing by.
Yeah, see if they're ginkgos. They could be a bunch of ginkgos.
They might be, but they might be full of energy. And they'd be a good example of the kind of lovely body development you have. What a nice show. Hold on.
Qualified buyers. Dealer to subsidize 60-month payments to buyers sourced till 296 at dealer retail.
Hyundai Coachman and Silver City Dodge Toyota, Southeastern Massachusetts, largest dealer group, Route 44, Raynham.
We're back to the game now, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on a minute here. Wait a minute.
Hello.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Mic number one.
Wait a minute. Main microphone. Now on, and I'm not on. Why is that? Can you hear? You cannot hear me. Are we on? Really? Can you hear me? Why can I not hear myself? Okay, anyway, with us.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, isn't that interesting? Can you guys hear me on your earphones?
Yes.
Yeah? Anyway, this is the swell music. Oh, wait a minute. I just heard a crack of the light there. We're playing the swell music quiz in any case, and we have a number of categories, and you know what they are. You can ask for rock and roll. You can ask for big bands. You can ask for musical comedy. You can ask for jazz, or you can ask for whatever you'd like. Now, those are the main categories that we're talking about. Okay.
You got it?
No, I'm getting near nothing on this thing. I'm sorry to get highly technical on you because those listening can hear everything and they're wondering what it is I'm talking about. The thing is, if I don't hear you on my earphones, I don't hear the people who are calling and I can't talk with you. Okay, hold on a minute. Tony's now in full action here.
Meanwhile, I'm gonna sit back.
No, nothing at all. Oh. No, nothing at all.
Headphones died.
Well, this is getting desperate now, folks. I tell you what, why don't you hand me the earphones that are on the other side? I don't know what that'll do. Okay, would you hand me those, please? Thank you very much. I'm sorry to hold everything up and kind of be mumbling a whole lot. Okay.
Too bad we didn't have a camera in there to see what this looked like.
I don't even hear anything on these earphones.
No, because I haven't plugged it in yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There you go. You ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3, and.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's very good. Okay. Let's go. Let's quickly pick up the game before all the time runs out on us. This is Linda in Quincy. I'm sorry to hold you up like that, Linda, but you're on the news, the Swell Music Quiz with all our entire group. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you. What category would you like?
Broadway.
Pardon me?
Broadway.
Oh, Broadway. Broadway musicals. Okay. How about the actor who starred in The Music Man?
Oh.
What was the name of the actor?
Robert Preston.
Robert Preston is correct. Now, ask us one on Broadway musicals, if you would.
Okay. Are you familiar with I Can Get It For You Hotel?
I'm sorry?
Are you familiar with the play I Can Get It For You Hotel?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Barbara Streisand sang a song, Miss Marmalstein.
Yes, she was Miss Marmalstein. I saw her in that, yes.
Do you remember her first and middle name?
Marmalstein's the character that Barbara Streisand played the character's first and middle names?
No. She sang a song called Miss Marmalstein.
Yes.
And in that song, she said what her first name was and her middle name was. She was Miss Marmalstein.
No, I realize that, but the first and middle name were the first and middle names of not Barbara Streisand, but Miss Marmalstein.
Right.
No, I don't recall that at all, no.
Okay, well, do you want to...
Yeah, tell me what it is. I don't know the answer to that.
Her first name was Yetta, and her middle name was Tessie.
Okay.
And it's on the recording of that.
Yeah, Elliot Gould was the star of that, and she played Boston. I saw her here. And Barbara Streisand was not known at that time, particularly, but she stole the show.
Wow.
And Elliot Gould, who's the big star, kind of faded into oblivion, because he's still very well known.
Did they marry after that?
Yes, yeah. They did. They apparently they met during the production of the show. And she was sensational, though, if you know. Anyway, in what show, this is for the certificate, in what show did the song Aquarius appear? What was the name of the show, Aquarius?
Hair.
Is that what you said?
Hair.
That's absolutely right. You won a certificate. Very good. Thank you, Linda. Okay, let's go to Joe in Providence. Hi, Joe. You're on WBZ.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Well, that was quite a wait. I really enjoyed that vitamin spot there. I think you should record that way and play it every night.
Play it exactly the same way so we don't change it at all.
No, I think it's great.
You've got good taste. you silly pook.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, I wanted to... there was a question about the Rembrandts earlier.
Yeah.
Can I answer that one?
Yes, go ahead.
Because I can't remember any other question. But,
I'll repeat the question. The Rembrandts have a top single right now. It's the theme song from Friends. They had one other big single before this, and that was?
The Way It Is.
Right, that's just The Way It Is, Baby.
Okay.
Right, excellent. Next, do you have a question for us, please?
Yeah, all right, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous here. The Jay and the Americans had a song called Only in America, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in the early, well, I know it was in the early 60s. The music and the arrangements and everything were recorded in advance for another group originally. And do you know what group that was?
Your turn, Tony.
I can't say any more of these. We give up. What is the answer?
The Drifters.
The Drifters.
Yeah, they didn't end up doing the song.
Wow. Okay, and one final question for you. This is for the Swell Certificate.
Okay.
Jeez, this is the magic moment, isn't it, kids?
This is terrific.
Okay, I'm going to name...
Instead of sending you a certificate, maybe I could send you a copy of a tape recording of my reading the vitamin thing. That'd be kind of fun. You could play it at parties and everything, and everybody fall on the floor laughing. Sponsor would love that.
Oh, man.
Okay, anyway, here's the question.
Okay, here's your question. This is in the year 1958. Name the cartoon that produced the number 10 and the number 11 songs of the whole year of 1958. And here's the hint. In 1959, the group also broke into the top 10 with a song called Alvin's Harmonica.
Jeez, did you have to give that hint?
Yeah, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
All right, okay.
Jeez.
Well,
wow.
Maybe if I show this.
What were the name of the song?
Would you?
The name of the song is The Witch Doctor.
Witch Doctor.
Oh, I told The Witch Doctor in, was it the Christmas song?
This guy's got it.
Very good. Yeah.
Wow. I was curious myself.
David Seville, right. Yeah, excellent.
Okay.
Well, we have a winner.
Oh, that's right. You're a winner, Joe. Very good.
All right.
Very good.
Thank
you very much. I think Mike was very anxious to get his name and address. And kind of clipped them. Joe in Pennsylvania. Hi, Joe. You're on WBZ.
Hi, Norm. It's a great week when you're on.
Well, thank you very much. That's nice of you to say that.
I tell you, this is like every night is a weekend. This is great.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot. I forgot where you are in Pennsylvania.
Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Hazleton, okay.
That's Norm Nathan Country. This other guy, yeah, don't believe the other guy. This is Norm Nathan Country.
Okay, thanks a lot. What category would you like, Joe?
I like rock and roll. Yeah, can you keep it in the 60s rock and roll or early 70s, or do I just get what I get?
No, that's all right.
Tonight we're being generous.
I can kind of get it over to one decade at a time. And here you go with the 60s. And here's the question. I'll name three bands, and you tell me who was the front person or the lead person in each of these bands. The Shondells.
Tommy James?
Right. The Fireballs.
Oh, man, wait a minute. The Fireballs. Dwayne Eddy?
No, but I'll go on to the next one. The Vandellas.
Martha Reeves?
Right, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got two out of three. Good.
Fireballs was Jimmy Gilmer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Sugar Shack.
Does that mean I lost?
No. I two out of three is my usual question. Maybe I didn't mention that, but two out of three is good enough.
You got that far. Now you have to give us a question.
Okay. Here's a Beatle question. In the song "I Feel Fine," the first note on this, the first note in the song, something happened there, and it was an accident. It wasn't meant to happen, but they left it in the recording. Can you tell me what it was?
You know, it's that funny sound. It sounds like a harmonic if you're playing the guitar.
Yes.
It goes...
Exactly.
So that's like a...
Distortion?
Can you tell me what caused that and what it was? I know for a fact what it was. If you can tell me that, I'll send you one of my certificates.
Did somebody drop a guitar?
No. No.
Someone had a bad lunch.
I guess we don't know.
What is the answer?
Okay, according to a documentary, according to one of the Beatles, I forget who said this, told about it, what happened was one of them, whether it was John or Paul, was playing the acoustic, hit the A note, and it was an open A, and the other person in the studio was across from him with the electric guitar, and the electric guitar was cranked up pretty good, and the A string started the other A string sympathetically vibrating, and it became all of a sudden it started fret buzz, and so it was acoustic that did a low. Okay, first was the acoustic, and then the electric came in there and added the harmonic to it, and they liked it so much they just just recorded it, left it in that way.
All right, my next question is, what frequency was it, and how many megacycles?
It was A440.
Wow. You got us. All right, now I guess we have one last question.
One more question.
One last question for you.
Okay.
And here we go. Here's an easy one.
Easy one.
For you, because you would not. Tell me the common thread between these three groups. Righteous Brothers, the Crystals, and the Ronettes.
Okay. Ah, man, this is not a trick question, is it? The Righteous Brothers, the Crystals.
The common thread.
Could they be all produced by Phil Spector?
Exactly.
Whoa.
Hey, very good, Joe. Very good, Joe. You win a certificate of award.
All right.
You'll be so pleased when you see it. You'll say, how can a major radio station in its 38 states send out a piece of junk like this?
I'm so excited.
That's the kind of excited remarks we get from most people.
I can't believe it. We do have a bad spot on the attic wall.
Okay.
And it's going right up there.
Okay, thanks for the call. Okay, let's go to...
Attic where no one can see it.
That's right. Jay in Arlington. Hi, Jay.
How you doing, Norman?
How you doing?
I love it when you bring up Arthur Godfrey because I sang on the Gleason show for the last 2 years out of Miami, and I used to get a big kick of going over the causeway and Arthur Godfrey way. I guess that was a big... towards his end of his career, he used to live a lot down there, and Gleason and Carney used to talk a lot. He's a real big favorite of Gleason. I don't know how, but why, but I used to remember in rehearsals, they used to talk a lot about it. Get a big kick out of that.
Now, did you sing with in a group on the Godfrey show?
We sang in the last 2 years of the show. I was a student at Miami, and they brought back the stage show at the Miami Beach Auditorium, and they were going to audition singers, and we went down en masse from a group, a little popular singing group we had called the Singing Hurricanes, and we did this six-part harmony, full blowout song. We all stood there, and the guy yelled out, "Sing something in unison," so he sang America the Beautiful, and we got the job.
What did you say? Sings in Yiddish?
Pardon me?
No, in unison.
Oh, in unison. I thought you said America the Beautiful. Yeah, in Yiddish.
Yeah, I would have been thinking about that. Not only when you got the job, you
had. Yeah, especially with Arthur Godfrey. Four guys and four girls. It was quite exciting because the last year it was on, they brought back a stage show of the old Honeymooners.
Oh, yeah.
And they went around the world trip. And so every time we would come in and we'd do an opening couple of numbers while the people came in.
Wow.
And then it was live. It was live. And you'd get the countdown, and then you'd do the opening big production number with the June Taylor Dances and the Sammy Spear Orchestra. And actually, my trumpet teacher in Miami, Al Hall, was the lead trumpet player in the Spear Orchestra. So he sort of is the one who gave us the clue that this was going on.
You're going to have to call me aside from the game because I've got a million questions I'd love to ask you about that period. And I hate to hold it up because there are a lot of people who would like to ask some questions.
I've talked to you before. We used to...
Hold the rest of it. Hold the rest of it. You could call me another time again, aside from the game, because we want to get on with this and answer as many as we can. Okay, what category...
I'm going to test my skills from way back listening.
Yeah, okay, hold on. I'm sorry, what is it? What category?
I'm going to choose jazz.
Okay, jazz, big band, that kind of stuff? There's a question out, the Woody Herman Band and the Four Brothers and the four saxophone players featured on Four Brothers.
Right.
Can you name two out of the four?
I could never answer that one.
Okay, well, that was just an extra one. You didn't need to...
I hardly even hear you, so I'm going to pass on to another... a caller here, but I would like to call you sometime, talk to you some other time.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, I don't think he could hear. He said something, he could not hear me. Okay. I'm sorry, because he sounded like he had an interesting career down in Florida. I would have liked to talk to him about that. Jack in Springfield. Hi, Jack.
I do, Norm. I hope you or your panelists would consider putting an asterisk as of the 64-65 back-to-back years for Petula Clark as the number one song. One was Downtown, and the other was I Know a Place, right? But somewhere out of that, it strikes a wrong chord. I understood Petula Clark to have a number one hit, This Is My Song. And it also, to expand on it, it happened to be by a fluke. It was the same composer and arranger who also made a number one hit. It was Sinatra's comeback 60s hit, Burt Camford's Stranger in the Night. And that's all I really wanted to say about it. That arranger, his name was Ernie Freeman, who's a black composer and arranger. And I don't know if you people have source there, but This Is My Song, I understood to be her all-time number one.
Well, it wasn't even our question, so. But
yeah, no, I guess. Well, I appreciate the information.
Yeah.
Thank you. What, and you want to stick with rock and roll, or do you have another category?
No, that would be it. Thanks an awful lot.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling, Jack. Let's go to Mike in Springfield. Mike, you're on WBZ. What category would you like?
Oh, first of all, I'd like to also ask you a question after, okay?
Yeah, well, if you answer the first question, then you get to ask us one, too.
Oh, okay. Darn it, I'd like to ask you one anyway.
What category would you like?
60s pop, rock and roll, whatever the category is.
If you miss, you can still squeeze in your question.
I'd appreciate it.
Okay, here we go. Who wrote many of the Temptations' first hits? He never sung with them. And I'll name just a couple of the titles. My Girl, Since I Lost My Baby, Get Ready, and The Way You Do the Things You Do. Now, who wrote those for the Temptations?
Wrote them? Oh, I'd have to take a guess. Smokey Robinson, probably.
Exactly right.
Oh, it was a guess. Okay.
Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I have a question for you. This may strain your brain a little bit, but in 1967, the Mamas and Papas, okay, they had, I believe, a very good friend that they asked to become a fifth member. And the person turned him down and went on to do a single of his own that was a real big hit. And I think it was the only thing he ever did. Do you know who that person was?
Are you talking about Barry McGuire?
No, close though. Scott McKenzie. He did Are You Going to San Francisco?
Francisco, Wear Flowers in Your
Okay.
Hair.
And I think they were such friends from what I read on a little booklet I had on some of this music that they named...
Mackenzie
Phillips?
They
named their kid after him. Right?
Yeah. Mackenzie Phillips.
Yeah, that was named, I guess, after Scott McKenzie.
Hmm. Okay, one final question for you, and this is for the certificate.
Go ahead.
Okay, here's the question for you. I'll name the... let's see.
Just he'll name something. Any moment now, he'll name something.
Okay, in 1957... Elvis had three of the top five hits of that whole year, but one other person had the other two top fives. And here's the hint. He won the Ted Mack Amateur Hour and the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scouts in 1954, just to give you an idea.
Oh, boy, I'm not big on the 50s stuff. could I ask, would it be similar stuff to the kind of stuff Elvis did?
No, this is the question. I'm sorry, the question's already out, so you'll have to answer this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was just asking if the other two songs that were number one by this guy were...
Oh, for the 50s. I'm sorry. Yeah, I misunderstood.
They were that type of stuff, right? They have to... Jerry Lee Lewis?
It was not.
No.
It was not, no.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for trying, Mike. We'll get back to the quiz. I guess we've got maybe pick up one or two... questions in just a minute. Every day though is somebody's birthday, and of course a perfect way to honor somebody on their birthday is to stumble through a commercial. That's a great hit. Yeah,
that's quite a segue. Yeah.
That's right. Make a cassette out of it and send them your stumbling cassette. And how about a birthday bear grab from the Vermont Teddy Bear Company? I wasn't thinking of that at all when I began this speech, but I think that would be a good idea. One lucky recipient describes what it's like to receive a bear grab by writing, "Dear Vermont Teddy Bear people and his orchestra, I received..." Oh, gee, this is awful. This is like dying and going to hell. "I received my Vermont teddy bear at the office, and he's great. My husband sent me the romantic bear with the flowers and the chocolate, and one of the nicest and most romantic presents I have ever received. Everybody at work was just so darn impressed. The commercials are so right when they talk about the quality and care that go into making these bears. The teddy bear people should be very proud of their work. These bears sure put a smile on somebody's face. Sincerely, a Vermont Bear Graham recipient from New Jersey." You can put a smile on somebody's face by sending a birthday bear graham from the Vermont Teddy Bear Company. Just call the Vermont Teddy Bear Company at 1-800-829-BEAR. Again, that's 1-800-829-BEAR.
That was a great swell music quiz. And the added bonus of not one, but two classic commercial reads from Norm put it over the top. Please like, subscribe, and share, and comment on any and all platforms you'll find us on. Reach us by email at normnathanvos@gmail.com. See you next week. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For Home Quarters Warehouse, The Banana Boat Song, The Dipsy Doodle, Birdland, Lola, Shoeless Joe from Hannibal Mall, Amy Mann and Till Tuesday, Rick Ocasek and The Cars, Sal Baglio and The Stompers, The Lost Planet Airmen, Mr. Excitement Jackie Wilson, Neil Diamond and his younger self, Neil Cole, Just Falling in Love, All 50 Ways to Leave That Lover, Silver City Dodge, Arrhythmia, Colonial Beach, Virginia, and Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Norm Nathan Country, Robert Goulet, Zero Mostel, and Arthur Godfrey, The Fred Show, Regina Gifts, Complimentary Gift Wrapping, Service, Savings, and Satisfaction, The Andrew Sisters, Diane Stern, Favorite Pharmacist, and Ginkgos Everywhere, Jackie Gleason, Pondering, Chintzy Certificates of Award, Powervites, America the Beautiful in Yiddish, The Vermont Teddy Bear Company, Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, Ed Mullen, and the man who hates overly sentimental songs, the old sport himself, Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.